Book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1. The title of my message is Know These Things. Know These Things. Ephesians chapter 1, the author is the Apostle Paul. These are known as the prison epistles here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and Father, I just thank you for being our God, and Father, thank you for the truths that you have given to us, and Father, thank you for the saints of God gathered here this morning. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given to each of the saints of God to seal us unto the day of redemption. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us illumination from your word, that reveals to us the truth, the knowledge of God. And Father, you want us to know these things. And I pray as we look at these topics here this morning, the things that you want us to know that are our spiritual riches in Christ. So Lord, bless us and keep us. And guide us here this morning. May I be a vessel that honors your Son and your word, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul, he wrote these words to the Ephesian believers when he was in Rome, a prisoner. That's why this is called one of the prison epistles here. And Paul, he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints. And is there any saints here this morning? There's some saints here, right? Yes, there are some saints here. And it's written to you and to me. The saints are in Ephesus, saints that are in TBC Bible Church, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last week we looked at blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. And we talked about the blessings we have in Christ, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And as we roll into verse 4 here, just as he chose us. Now, God wants us to know some things. Paul, he couldn't contain himself here. As I said last week, he started off there, and when you get to verse 3, all the way down to verse 14, it was just one long sentence in the Greek. It's just like he thought about all of his blessings, and yeah, this, and this, and this, and this, and this. He just kept going. You know, we should feel that way, the way God has blessed us as his people. And Paul, he just talks about all the blessings that he has received, he just starts laying them out one by one. Now, verse 4, what are some things God wants us to know here? Because knowledge is important. Knowledge helps us make wise decisions. Knowledge helps us to understand God. Now, there's general revelation, which means the heavens declare the glory of God. That's general. Everybody can see that. But there's special revelation. What is special revelation? Only those things that God reveals to us can we know them. We couldn't know them unless God told us these things. So this is special revelation in the sense that this is God is pulling back the curtains, so to speak, in heaven and said, I just want you to know some things about heaven and about me as your God and you in the world. And verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Let's just chew on that a minute. Now, what is that saying? Well, that's saying that before there ever was a world, before there ever was a you in the world, before there ever was all your life experiences, before there was anything in the world, God knew you. And he chose you as one of his own. Now, I do want to say something here about the word chosen. Whenever you see the word chosen, it always is connected to believers in Scripture. There is never a verse that says you are unchosen to unbelievers. Whenever you see the word chosen, it's always connected to those who are believers. And for Paul here, when he's writing to the Ephesian believers, the faithful, the saints, He's peeling back the curtain, so to speak, of glories of heaven. And I just want you to know how great God is. Before the foundation of the world, he chose you. Now, how do we understand that? How do we get our hands around a God that knows everything before it even happens? Suppose you were trying to play chess with somebody and you made a move and the guy had a piece of paper and he wrote something down, and then you made a move and he slid the paper over to you and said, "I knew you were going to move just there." Would you want to play with somebody like that? No, I wouldn't play with somebody like that, because I know pretty much it's going to be checkmate before I knew what was happening. But when we come to God, God knows every move you're going to make before you make that move. Now, that's God speaking. Okay, now this is God standing. He's telling you how he sees things. He goes, "I see everything. From eternity past, as far as you can go back to eternity in the distant past, to eternity in the future, God is God at all." Now, if that confuses you a little bit, or if that's kind of hard to get your hands around how God can know all that, good, because he's God and you're not. Okay? He's God and you're not. And God reveals some things to us that's hard to understand. How can that be? It isn't hard for me to accept it. I may not understand it, but it doesn't mean I can't accept it, because God says it. And he chose us before the foundation of the world. Now, if he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation, what does that mean? Well, if he chose me before I ever even lived and before I ever messed things up, has anybody ever messed up your life a little bit? You ever done some things that, oops, you know? God knew all my, oops, I shouldn't have done that. That didn't work out real good. God knew all that. And guess what? God says, "I hold you in the hollow of my what? Hand. And no man's able to pluck you out of my what? My hand." That's security. Before the foundation of the world, God knew me. And you know, for me, you know what that does for me? That comforts me. He's got my life in control. I may feel like my life's out of control sometimes, but God knows where my life is going. He knows where I've been. He knows where I am. He knows where I'm going. He knows everything. That's a comfort to me. That's my God. My God knows me. And when I'm in the hollow of his hand, guess what? His hand's going to hold on to me. You know, I think about it. I've seen times when a mother's got a child and they're trying to get across a busy street and she's got the child in the hand. Now, I guarantee you this, the child's not holding her hand. She's holding the child's hand. Is that a difference? Yeah. That's a big difference. And guess what? She's not letting go till they get safely to the other. And guess what? God's not letting us out of his hands till he gets us all the way to glory. That's our God. And when he says here that blessed be the heavenly, just as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, I don't have a way of getting my arms around that. That is mind-boggling. Some of us have problems just balancing our checkbook. Do you know what I'm saying? And here's a God that knows everything about me and you and every billion people in this world, billions upon billions of people. He knows them all. That's how great God is. And there's nothing I can do to have him take me out of his hand, because he chose me before I was even me. Figure that one out. Just as he chose us in him, that's believers' talk, before the foundation of the world. Now, because he chose me in him, that is what he did for me. He wants me to know this. And because I'm chosen in him, now, "Be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." God wants us to be holy because he's holy. What does the rest of that verse say? He chose me. I'm part of his kingdom, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How should a Christian live? Now, I'm chosen. Point one, I'm chosen. If I'm a chosen person, does that affect how I live? Absolutely. If I'm chosen, that affects who I am in Christ. Because God wants me to be like him. He chose me to be part of his kingdom, He chose me before the foundation of the world. He wants me. And how does he want me to live? That I should be holy and without blame before him, to live a righteous life. Where there's been salvation, there is sanctification. Where there's been redemption, there's going to be, where there's been regeneration, there's going to be a sanctifying process in somebody's life. He chose us. He chose us. He chose us in him before the foundation to be holy and without blame before in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons. Now, what's interesting about this, when a parent here on earth adopts somebody, so like the parents, the mom and the dad, they adopt a child. And let's just say the both parents have blonde hair and the child they adopted has red hair. Will that child that has red hair ever have blonde hair because the parents that adopted had blonde hair with that child? No. But you know, when God adopts us, do we take on his nature when he adopts us? Do you see how that works? God wants us to be like him when he adopts us. When we brought into his kingdom, we are to look like he is and to act like he is, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If he has called us and we are one of his children and we claim the name of Christ, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, we live in a culture today that is getting more and more ungodly. Does anybody know when the first curse word was on the movie screen? What movie that was? Gone with the Wind. That's exactly right. And they held that movie up for 3 months debating whether they should leave that curse word in there or not. And they allowed it in. Move the calendar ahead many years to today. Is there a lot of profanity and vulgarity and wickedness on the movie screens today? Is it everywhere? It's everywhere. Now, as God's chosen people, he wants us to be holy and without blame. What you see, can that affect what you think about? What you see, can that affect how you act and how you feel? As Christians, if we name the name of Christ, should we have a sense of holiness about us to avoid things that might show and be wicked before God? Should we have an avoidance of those things? Men, if you see something that is inappropriate, how should you handle that? Because we live in this world, it just flashes before us. What do? You bounce your eyes. You're looking this way, and all of a sudden there's something that's inappropriate. You look the other way. Is that a battle? Now, if God chose us before the foundation of the world, does he know how we try to live a sanctified life? He'll know. He's God. He knows all things. So if we're chosen in him, and he's all-powerful and all-knowing, and he's holding us in the hollow of his hand, what does God ask from us? Just be like me. I've adopted you as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. In love, that he wants us to be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, keep your finger here. Turn to the Gospel of John. Keep your finger in Ephesians. John chapter 3. He's chosen us. He's predestinated us. Keep your finger in Ephesians. We'll be back in a minute. In John chapter 3, tell me if this is true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting. Is that in the Bible? That's in the Bible. Okay, now God chose us, but we also have a free will. And they right to eternity, side by side. God is sovereign? Absolutely. God has given man a free will? Absolutely. They're not enemies. There's so many verses that God invites people to come to him. In Revelation, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Whoever's thirsty may come. Take of the water of life freely, may take it. Over and over, God gives invitations to lost people. Jack Wertzen said it like this. I remember him saying one time, you get to heaven, on the outside of the door it says, whosoever will may enter in. And you close the door and you look behind you, on the door it says, you are chosen before the foundation of the world. That's how it works. I don't have to explain friends. I don't have to reconcile friends. They work together. That's God. God speaking. God in his sovereignty. You say God's sovereign? Absolutely. God in his sovereignty said, whosoever will may enter in. So they're not enemies. And anybody that believes in the sovereignty of God like I do, I believe in the sovereignty of God. But I believe in sinners repenting. I believe they can repent. And I don't have any theological problem with sovereignty and free will. They work together. Because in the mind of God and the intelligence and knowledge of God, there's no contradiction. But I will say this. Sovereignty is a doctrine absolutely in Scripture. But keep the balance. Because I have known people. I was in a Sunday school class one time. And I knew this guy and a little bit of his background. And the minute he said that prayer doesn't change anything, I knew exactly where he was coming from. Because he took sovereignty, and that's a truth. But what he did was he magnified it over all other truths. And since God is sovereign, what is going to be, and there's nothing going to change because God's sovereign. Everything that happens is God's will, and prayer changes nothing. But then what do you do with Luke 18:1? What does Luke 18:1 say? Men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint and lose heart. That's in the Bible. So, balance. Is God sovereign? Absolutely. But don't carry it too far. Don't just stand in that circle alone. Because if you do, your theology can get a little skewed. Because I knew a church one time. They just, sovereignty was their main theme. Which is, that's not unbiblical to have sovereignty, but you just can't focus on that alone. And you know how strong their missions program was? A big zero. Because why send missionaries if it's up to God? God's going to save who's he going to save. Why is it up to me? And they had zero. So, but to me, that's out of balance. Did God choose me? Absolutely. But is John 3:16 still in the Bible? Absolutely. It's the balance. Keep the balance. Because if you go either one way or the other way. Now, why is sovereignty a comfort to me? Because there are people that I have witnessed to, that I have prayed for, that I have cried over in my prayers, and they have died without Christ. Now, if I was totally in free will alone, it's all up to man, what would that do to me? It could take me down spiritually. You know why? Because maybe if I just gave them one more track, or maybe I just prayed a little harder for them, or maybe if I just fasted a little, maybe they would have gotten, it would have all been on me to get them saved. But guess what? I can't do that. I've done what I could. So I did what I could to bring them to Christ. They didn't get saved. But over here, I looked to the sovereignty of God and said, God, you knew from the foundation of the world who's going to be. And I can take comfort. I can stand in that circle and get some comfort there. Because I've done what I could. But when I have somebody come to me and I see them and I know they're lost, guess what? I'm going to give them a track because they need Christ. Do you see the balance there? How God's given us both sides to help us in our Christian life. Because sometimes I need to stand in the circle of whosoever will and give that track out. But sometimes I need to stand over in the circle of the sovereignty of God because I've done what I could. Because people sometimes beat themselves up bad because the loved one that they love didn't come to Christ. But what do you do then? Well, God has chose us before the foundation of the world. He knows those that are getting saved because he's God, I'm not. In God's sovereignty, he told, repent or you shall perish. In God's sovereignty, he said, For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but everlasting. So whenever you talk of sovereignty and the free will of man, talk both. Use them both. They're not enemies. They're all in Scripture. They're all in Scripture. Now, turn to Romans here for a minute. Keep your finger in Ephesians. We'll get back here. Romans chapter 3 here for a moment. How good is man? Not very good. Look at Romans 3. Verse 3, what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may be overcome when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, our sinfulness, what shall we say? Is God unjust to inflict wrath? Now, if you believe in sovereignty, total sovereignty without the free will of man, and everybody does just whatever God wants them to do, we're just robots, then how can God judge anybody? Because they're just doing what they were created to do. Then how will God judge the world? You know how God judged the world? Just like he told Adam and Eve, don't eat that fruit. You touch that tree, you're going to die. That is a moral choice they made. He's saying to them, you got a free moral agent here. Don't do this. And guess what? They did it. And God says, because you did it, you're out of the garden. And death and disease and everything that followed. For the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory. Why am I judged as a sinner? Because if you push sovereignty too strongly, guess what? You make God the author of sin. And guess what? God didn't. He's not the author of sin. If you push it too far, you need to keep that balance. Man has a free will? Absolutely. He's a moral free agent. God is going to judge sinners. And why not say, let's do evil that good may come, as some slanders report and some affirm we say. And Paul just says, their condemnation is just. People get so twisted up sometimes. What then? Are we better than they? All these people that say that? Not at all, for we're previously charged, both Jew and Greek, they're all under sin. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none that seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They've all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throats is an open tomb. Their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their way. The way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God in their eyes. Every one of those verses are quoted from the Old Testament. And you can sum it up like this. All have sinned and come short of what? Glory to God. Now, you say, I'm a believer. I'm a saint. Praise God. Because, turn back over to Ephesians here. You know why you ought to be praising God? Having predestined as adoption as sons by Jesus Christ according to good pleasure his will. He worked in your life to the praise and the glory of what? His grace. It was God's grace. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And all this is to the praise and glory of his grace. So as you look in your life, and if God's worked in your life, and you're saved from your sins, and you've repented, and you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you ought to be thankful and praising God for what he's done for you. And Paul says it's for his glory and his grace. He chose us. He adopted us. He's predestined us. All those are deep, deep subjects for the mature Christian. That is believer talk. You'll never see a verse in Scripture that says somebody was predestined to hell. Never find it. Never says that. It doesn't say that. That talk is always for believers alone. Now, our verse of the month, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ. How do you feel about your salvation? Do you have any feelings? You're not saved by your feelings, but you better have what? Some feelings. Paul did. He couldn't even get past the introduction for his name, blessed be God, because God saved him. For us as believers, for the Christian in this world today, life is not going to get any easier for believers across the world. It's not getting any easier because the tares and the wheat are coming to what? Maturity. And then comes what? The harvest. Evil is getting more evil in this world. And this Ephesians chapter 1 is a security for us. I don't care how bad this world gets. I don't care how bad it goes off the rails. I don't care how bad our government gets. Guess what? Your citizenship in heaven is what? Secure. Because he chose you in before the foundation of the world. And that's our security is in him. And we can rest in that he knows me. And he's not going to leave me. No matter how bad life gets or what happens in life, he's my God. And he's going to take care of me, and he's going to be with me because he's chosen me, he's adopted me, he's predestined me, he's redeemed me, he is faithful to me, and I'm going to trust in him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not to your what? Own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall what? Direct your paths. Can we do that this week? Can you trust him? He's got you. He cares for you. And he knows you. Because he's predestined you. And he chose you before the foundation of the world. Let us pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you, God, for choosing us and you before the foundation of the world. Lord, we're secure. You're a great God. And Lord, you know all these things. And you know our ups and downs and our downsittings and our uprisings. Our thoughts are far off. You are God, and you hold us secure in your hand. So, Lord, may we walk in the sovereignty of God. May we walk in the free will of God. May we trust in you, God, for you alone are God, and there is no other. And we worship you, God. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for adopting us. Thank you for predestinating us, God. Father, we're your children by faith. Lord, help us to keep the balance in our Christian life. That, Lord, that we honor you and honor your word. And Father, in your sovereignty, you told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Father, help us toward that end to be faithful in obedience. So, Lord, we love you. Thank you for being a faithful God to us. Give us a good week. May we trust you and lean into thee, God, in the dark moments that we need our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.